Arizona News Radio. Prescott Police investigating a head-on crash involving a bus from the Humboldt Unified School District and an SUV.
The driver of the Denali was unconscious. There was no indication of any evasive action taken by the driver, nor was there any indication of braking.
A Bullhead City man arrested for child abuse involving his three-month-old son.
The three-month-old baby's mother reported that she could no longer hear the child cry. And she walked in on the baby's father, holding the baby face down on the bed.
A bit of rain and snow in northern Arizona and also some winds.
We also have some concerns with blowing dust pretty much on Interstate 40, east of Flagstaff, between here and Winslow.
Winds are also a concern. The Horseshoe 2 fire burning near Portal has charred nearly 31,000 acres, but the oncoming storm could present some problems.
The fire behavior is expected to increase significantly because of the wind.
George Tanner, Arizona News Radio.
And this KFNX traffic report is brought to you by your Arizona Farmers Insurance agents. Baseline has two accidents. One's east at 24th Street. The other one's west at 48th Street. 27th Avenue and Indian School Road has a collision. And eastbound on the Papago 35th Avenue, there's a fender bender there. We do have some slow traffic on the Maricopa eastbound between the Salt River Bridge and Ray Road. Are you saving as much as you could? See how your knowledgeable local farmer's agent can save you money. Call Michael Mizell at 480-892-4744. We are insurance. We are farmers.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. We have that wind advisory in effect for the valley and surrounding areas until 8. Gusty winds up to 40 miles per hour possible. That means blowing dust and reduced visibilities. Please be careful if you're out driving. We're only 78 again tomorrow, and then we warm rapidly into the weekend. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
And currently at our downtown studios, we're sitting at 76 degrees. Next news in 30 minutes. We're going to break here on KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Could switching to GEICO really save you 15% or more on car insurance? Is trying to sneak out of a really boring meeting wearing tap shoes a bad idea?
Sales growth has increased 2.9%. That's a reflection of aggressive... Ben, where are you going?
Nowhere. Headed back to my seat now.
Switch to GEICO now and you could save hundreds on your car insurance. For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Could switching to GEICO really save you 15% or more on car insurance? Do only dogs hear dog whistles?
You could enjoy multi-car safety feature and good driver discounts when you switch to GEICO. For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
This is Legalese, where the law is always on your side. Now introducing your host, a longtime veteran of the courts, Dennis Willinchek.
Well, hello. It's Dennis Willinchek on Legalese, as you just heard. And we're here from 4 to 5 every Wednesday, preceding the Lou Dobbs Show. And today, we are going to be talking about workers' compensation. And most people, I find, don't even know what that means. So we're going to be lucky enough to have some lawyers on the show today who know all about it. And with me in the studios today, we're pleased to have Don Fenden and his son, Matt. Welcome aboard, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dennis.
And a little bit about them. Don is a workers' compensation specialist certified by the Arizona Board of Legal Specialization in the State Bar of Arizona. And he has handled workers' compensation claims since 1972. And in addition, he's handled Social Security disability income benefit claims since 1979. Practiced a long time here, obviously, and brought on his son, Matt, who has joined the firm in February of 2001 as a paralegal prior to becoming an attorney, just like my son, Jack, at our firm. He earned his license to practice law in 2008 and has since navigated many cases to very favorable outcomes and also handles Social Security disability and workers' compensation bad faith cases. Matt belongs to many professional groups, and both gentlemen are here, as I say, as our guests to talk about workers' compensation issues, to explain to all of you out there what that means. And we also are going to have this hour the pleasure of having some lawyers who were involved in a recent case that drew a lot of attention, and the case is from the federal appellate court in Louisiana. The name of the case is Antonio Rodriguez versus Integrity Contracting. And in this case, the Circuit Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit, covering Louisiana, ruled that an undocumented worker was entitled to workers' compensation benefits. And it drew a lot of stir down there. And the Supreme Court declined to hear the appeal from this Louisiana Court of Appeals. And the case arose out of an injury sustained by Mr. Rodriguez while doing roofing work at the University of Louisiana at Lafayette. He was a subcontractor, or employed as a subcontractor, and under Louisiana state law, his workers' compensation claim was filed against the main contractor, or what they call the statutory employer, and Vaughn Roofing was the main contractor. And today we are going to have, as I said on the program, we're going to start off the program with Kirk Landry with us, who's on the phone. And then we're going to have the pleasure of having Janice Barber, who represented the other side, Mr. Rodriguez's side of the case, to talk about this fascinating issue that's very timely for us here in Arizona of whether an undocumented worker has a right to file for compensation under the Workers' Compensation Act. Now, every state is different. And, gentlemen, Don and Matt, you can butt in any time you want because this is not my area of expertise. But as I understand it, every state has a different law. Some states don't even require workers' compensation insurance, such as Texas, I'm told.
Indeed.
And why don't you, before we turn to Mr. Landry and discuss Mr. Vaughn, or the Vaughn Roofing Company's argument, excuse me, maybe you can educate our listeners a little bit on what the general scheme of the law is with respect to workers' compensation here in Arizona.
All right. Well, workers' compensation is a no-fault form of law, a no-fault form of insurance, so to speak, and it takes effect where an employee who sustains an injury on the job or in the course and scope of his employment gets injured, and he can collect workers' compensation benefits from the insurance company that is insuring the employer, his employer, for such benefits to be paid. All this is governed by ARS 23, and basically the bottom line is the Industrial Commission of Arizona, located at 800 West Washington in Phoenix, oversees the workers' compensation cases in this state. As I mentioned, it's a no-fault form of insurance, so you don't have to prove negligence caused by the employer or a third person to collect workers' compensation benefits. And essentially, that's important because in a normal situation, as you know, Dennis, when you have a civil case or a case that's filed in superior court, you have to prove some sort of negligence by the tortfeasor, the one that caused the negligence in question. In a workers' compensation case, since it's no fault, you do not have to prove negligence on the part of the employer or on the part of any other person, being a third party person or a co-employee.
So are there trials in Arizona, jury trials in this area?
No, there isn't. Basically, we have administrative law judge hearings where the attorneys in question put on witnesses if it's a compensability issue concerning whether or not the injury arose out of and in the course of that employee's work for the employer, or if it's a medical question, doctors may come in and testify either by phone or in person, and it's just administered by an administrative law judge. There are no jury trials.
Okay, and then they get to appeal, I assume, to the Superior Court.
No, they get, if there's an appeal, it goes right to the Court of Appeals.
Oh, okay, that's interesting. Okay, well, that's Don Fenden. That's a very good summary, I think, of where we are. We'll return to the topic of Arizona law on this subject in the second part of our show. But while we have the attorney, as I said earlier, for Vaughn Roofing, this case out of Louisiana, on the line, do we have him on the line now? Are you with us, sir?
I sure am.
Okay, Mr. Landry, you were the attorney, as I said earlier. I don't know how much of that you were privy to or heard, but you were the attorney down in Louisiana in the appellate court for Vaughn Roofing. Now, was Vaughn the employer of this undocumented worker that ultimately was able to collect coverage?
No, Vaughn was not the direct employer. As you noted earlier, you can have circumstances where somebody up the line, we call it, an employer up the line, a primary contractor can be responsible for workers' compensation benefits. That was the allegation that was made in this case. Vaughn was sued in its capacity as a statutory employer. They were not the direct employer.
So for my listeners, what does that mean? What is a statutory employer?
Well, let me give you the factual circumstances we were dealing with in our case. The state of Louisiana administers the university system. University where Mr. Rodriguez was working had some roof replacement and roof remediation to do. They hired Vaughn, my client, to do that work. My client hired a company called Integrity Contracting to perform some facets of the work, and Integrity was the actual direct employer of Rodriguez. So when Rodriguez was injured, and there's no dispute that he was injured, he fell off a roof and had a pretty significant injury. When he was injured and sought workers' compensation benefits, he sought them not just against his direct employer, Integrity, but also against Vaughn as a statutory employer.
Okay, now you made a number of arguments in the Court of Appeals, which we can talk about. But I want to focus on one of them right now and have our guests, defendants, comment on this if they care to. But according to your client, as I understand it, you were citing some case called Hoffman, I guess, out of the Supreme Court, which indicated that federal law may preempt an award of state workers' compensation benefits to an undocumented worker. Is that fairly accurate?
That's fairly accurate. The background is that we made a lot of arguments under Louisiana law, but the one that caused us to proceed to the United States Supreme Court, and obviously the one that gained so much attention, and the one that caused me to be on the phone right now, is the argument that has a more broad-reaching component, not just for Louisiana law, but for all states, and that simply is this. The Immigration Reform and Control Act of 1986, which is really governs federal immigration policy, it was enacted by Congress. The position that we took and that other defendants in other states have taken is that the Immigration Reform and Control Act, or IRCA, preempts state law insofar as work relationships are concerned. And so the position that we took and asserted was that IRCA therefore precludes the imposition of state workers' compensation benefits to injured illegal aliens because they should have never been employed in the first place under federal law.
Now, did you actually cite IRCA as part of your brief, or did you cite this Hoffman case that we were talking about?
Both. IRCA and Hoffman. IRCA is the statutory provision.
Right.
Hoffman is a United States Supreme Court case that in another employment context cited IRCA or relied upon IRCA to preclude the award of wage replacement benefits in an employment law case.
Yeah, and without getting too technical for some of our listeners, the bottom line to this is, as I read it, the court rejected your argument that Hoffman supported the preemption position, that is, that federal law preempted the award of workers' comp benefits to the undocumented worker. And I assume you take exception to that, but tell us why, if you do.
Well, they didn't exactly reject it. They opted not to hear the case. The United States Supreme Court.
They said right here, however, a reading of Hoffman does not support your argument.
I'm sorry, you're talking about the state appellate court as opposed to the United States Supreme Court.
Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm referring to the decision, the circuit court decision.
Yeah, and I'm sorry. They rejected that argument, and they rejected the other arguments that that we asserted under law as well.
While we're on that, why don't you clarify that for me, because I was led to believe that the Supreme Court simply did not review the case or chose not to review it. I didn't know there was an actual Supreme Court hearing on this case and a ruling. Is that what happened?
No, it's not. You're exactly on point. I was confused when you were referencing the appellate court. Right. The United States Supreme Court opted not to hear the case.
But the Court of Appeals did not agree with you on this citing of Hoffman as controlling authority for the proposition that federal law preempted an award of state workers' comp benefits to an undocumented worker. So what I'm asking you is, I would assume you disagree with that finding. So why don't you tell our listeners why?
Yeah, we disagree with it, and that's the reason we sought review at the Louisiana Supreme Court and as well as at the United States Supreme Court. And the problem that employers are facing nationwide now is inconsistent application of IRCA and the Hoffman decision to the various workers' compensation systems. As your other guest indicated a moment ago, different states control their own workers' compensation programs. And so what we have, and what I cited to the United States Supreme Court in our cert application or our request that they review the case, were inconsistent decisions that were generated by different state courts of appeal and state Supreme Courts reaching different conclusions as to whether IRCA preempts.
Let me ask you this before our break, because I have to butt in because our time is a little bit limited. But let me just simply ask you this. Is this an issue, this preemption issue, that revolved around Louisiana's particular workers' comp statute that could be corrected, in your opinion, by, for example, Arizona having a different statement in its law? Because the way I read some of this, the court was relying upon an absence of language in the state legislation. So is it your opinion that courts can correct this, legislatures can correct this problem in the other states?
That's what it appears. It appears by declining to review that it's really left up to each individual state. But there's still no answer to this overarching issue as to whether IRCA preempts the award of workers' compensation benefits, because different courts of appeal in different states have ruled different ways on that issue.
Any insight as to why the Supreme Court just didn't directly deal with that, if there's a difference of opinion?
No insight at all. A lot of the prognostication lists suggested it was one that they would be most interested in, and they didn't, as you know, and most lawyers know. They only pick up less than 1% of cases that are presented to them. So why this one was not of interest at this particular time, I have no idea.
All right, we're going to take a break. We've been talking with Kirk Landry, who handled this case that the Supreme Court declined to look at, from Louisiana, represented Vaughn Roofing in it, a case in which an undocumented worker received workers' compensation benefits that's drawn a lot of fire. So we'll be back with our guests, defendants, talking about workers' compensation and the other side of the case in Louisiana in just a few minutes.
Since 1991, the law offices of Willinchek & Bartness have provided quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Willinchek & Bartness specialize in cases of breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Willinchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810, 602-606-2810.
I saw so much potential when I married him, but now I'm worried. I think he's drinking way too much, and he gets really mad when I say that. I'm feeling pressure from money problems. I feel trapped. Our family doctor told me to try Al-Anon Family Groups. I'm starting to see my situation in a new light. If someone's drinking bothers you, you might find help at an Al-Anon Family Group meeting right here in our community. I found support there. You can too. Call 1-888-4-ALANON or visit alanonfamilygroups.org.
Coming up this week on The Kevin Trudeau Show.
This week, I'm going to reveal the secrets behind exactly what the government is doing to hide vital information from you, and proof that they are absolutely not protecting you. Plus, find out why America is headed in the wrong direction and why you shouldn't always trust what your doctors say.
Sundays from noon to 3 p.m. on News Talk Radio 1100, KFNX.
business owners, if you would like to create a loyal audience of raving fans, text Mojo to 411-247 and turn prospects into paying customers. Grow your business with video marketing. Grab your free video consumer report and discover 8 critical videos every business should have. 10 reasons why every business needs to use video to survive in this economy. Take advantage of this free report by texting Mojo to 411-247 or go to mojovideomarketing.com/free.
Welcome back. This is Dennis Wolinchek on Legalese, and we're here every Wednesday from 4 to 5. The number here at KFNX downtown studios is 602-277-KFNX. That's 5369. If you want to call in, we're here to talk to you. We have our guests here today are Matt and Don Fendon of the Fendon Law Firm, and they are here. I said downtown, but it's probably more Midtown in reality, right?
Correct.
Who knows what's downtown or Midtown really anymore. But anyway, they are here right off 3rd Street. And what's your exact address here?
2001 North 3rd Street.
2001 North 3rd Street. I used to be at a 2001 North Central many years ago. Anyway, they specialize in workers' comp issues, and they're here as our guest today to talk about some of those issues. We have been discussing thus far an interesting case that's drawn, again, a lot of criticism, a lot of praise from depending on what sector you're talking to. In the workers' comp field, and this case, we had as a guest one of the attorneys, the attorney for Vaughn Roofing in the case, which was an employer and statutory employer. And in that case, as we've been discussing, there was allowed an award of state workers' compensation benefits to an undocumented worker. And as I say, it's particularly in our state, it's drawn a lot of fire. And we have with us as a guest in that regard, calling in, Janice Barber, who actually represented the plaintiff and Mr. Rodriguez in that case, who won the case. And she, I believe, has listened into the comments of the opposing attorney on the losing side of the case. So, Janice, are you with us? Hello? Do we have Janice on the line? Okay, we're having some technical difficulties. I think she dropped off the line. We'll get her back. But while we're doing that, there's always technical difficulties in this business. But while we're doing that, let me ask you, Matt, in Arizona, do you think this would be the ruling of the Arizona courts, or is there some precedent in Arizona that you can look to and tell our listeners about that might bear on the subject?
Yeah. Dennis, first let me just outline that there's basically, workers' comp benefit coverage for illegal immigrants varies in 4 different ways. Either they don't ask and they don't tell the states to define workers' comp benefit eligibility. The second group of states basically address eligibility without whether the immigrants are legally in the country, so could be an illegal immigrant or it could be a legal immigrant. The third group of states includes Idaho, Wyoming, I think Michigan's just added to the fray, where they're not covering illegal immigrants under their workers' comp statutes. And the fourth group is Arizona, which basically we don't spell out what legally authorized to work means. And there was a decision in 06, the Gámez decision, out of the Court of Appeals here in the state of Arizona. And basically, all it is a concurring opinion, so there's no legal precedent. And
what does that say?
Well, it basically says the judges that wrote the concurring opinion said that they don't believe illegal immigrants should be entitled to workers' comp benefits based on the statutory interpretation of 23901-6B.
Why is that? Is there something in that statute that makes it clear that the legislature did not intend to extend the benefits to undocumented workers?
They basically hung everything on a comma. It says, every person in the service of any employer subject to this chapter, including aliens and minors, legally or illegally permitted to work for hire, but not including a person whose employment is both casual or not in the usual course of the trade, business, or occupation of the employer. So the court basically hung their argument on the fact that the aliens and the minors are separate. So in other words,
the comma after aliens separates the legal and illegal. So what they're really only talking about here is minors that are legally or illegally permitted to work here, not illegal aliens. That's how the court interpreted
Very
that.
Very finite distinctions.
Yeah,
yeah, and actually there's five states that subscribe to this area because they actually indicate that the legislation provides for workers' comp benefits to aliens and minors who are legally authorized to work, but they do not spell out what the term legally authorized to work means. And beside Arizona, Colorado, Montana, and the two Carolinas are in that group.
Wow, fascinating. By the way, we have Janice Barber with us. Unfortunately, we're going to have to take a break shortly. Janice, we have probably a minute or so before our break, and I'm sorry we missed you there. And as I said, you were the attorney for the plaintiff in this case we've been talking about. Why don't you tell us before our break, in summary, why you believe that the court ruled the way it did? We have about a minute.
We believe that the courts ruled the way they have because in Louisiana, undocumented workers are not excluded under workers' compensation law. Our statute works in the manner that everybody is included unless specifically excluded.
I see. Interesting.
And we believe that's why the courts have upheld Mr. Rodriguez's right to workers' comp benefits.
Okay, we'll be back talking to you more about that if you can hang on with us.
Sure.
After this break for brief messages. And this is Dennis Wolinchek on Legalese KFNX. We're here with defendants and with an attorney, Janice Barber from Louisiana. We'll be back in just a moment.
I'm Steve Malzberg. Listen to me from 1 to 3 every weekday afternoon on the 50,000-watt Voice of the Valley, KFNX, News Talk Radio 1100, Phoenix.
CNN Radio, I'm Lisa Campbell. New details related to the case of Dominique Strauss-Kahn, the head of the International Monetary Fund, now charged in the attempted rape of a hotel maid. CNN's Jeffrey Toobin says his attorneys are asking a judge to release their client on bail tomorrow. Jeffrey Shapiro is the attorney for Strauss-Kahn's accuser.
From my client's standpoint, the idea that this man would somehow or another be on the streets and free, I'm sure it would cause her a great deal of concern.
President Obama will deliver a major speech on U.S. policy in the Mideast on Thursday. The White House says he'll focus on the desire for democracy and will try to put America on the right side of history on U.S. policy in the Arab world. Arizona Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords is out of surgery and said to be recovering well. She had skull surgery in Houston today to reduce swelling. The most trusted name in news. This is CNN Radio.
Arizona News Radio. Prescott Police investigating a head-on crash involving a bus from the Humboldt Unified School District and an SUV.
The driver of the Denali was unconscious. There was no indication of any evasive action taken by the driver, nor was there any indication of braking.
A Bullhead City man arrested for child abuse involving his three-month-old son.
The three-month-old baby's mother reported that she could no longer hear the child cry. And she walked in on the baby's father, holding the baby face down on the bed.
A bit of rain and snow in northern Arizona and also some winds.
We also have some concerns with blowing dust pretty much on Interstate 40 east of Flagstaff between here and Winslow.
Winds are also a concern. The Horseshoe 2 fire burning near Portal has charred nearly 31,000 acres, but the oncoming storm could present some problems.
The fire behavior is expected to increase significantly because of the wind.
George Tanner, Arizona News Radio.
And this KFNX traffic report is brought to you by Check Into Cash. Westbound on the Pima at 7th Avenue, you're going to find a collision there. Still on the Pima, east of the 51, heading westbound on the Pima, you're going to find on the right shoulder three vehicles in a collision. Westbound on the Papago at 59th Avenue, there's a fender bender right in the median. And Check Into Cash is the best place to get a title secured loan of up to $5,000. They guarantee the lowest rate. They will save you money. Visit checkintocash.com for a store near you.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. We have that wind advisory in effect for the valley and surrounding areas until 8. Gusty winds up to 40 miles per hour possible. That means blowing dust and reduced visibilities. Please be careful if you're out driving. We're only 78 again tomorrow, and then we warm rapidly into the weekend. Jim Howell, KFNX Newstalk Radio, 1100.
And currently at our downtown studios, we're sitting at 70 degrees. Next news in 30 minutes. We're going to break here on KFNX Newstalk Radio, 1100.
Hi folks, Jim Seward's here for Legends Cadillac in North Scottsdale. Well, it's no secret that Legends Cadillac is the number one retailer of new Cadillacs in the entire western region. Our location, our selection, and our professional sales staff make that a no-brainer. But folks, I'm here today to tell you about Legends' unbelievable inventory of certified pre-owned Cadillacs. From the sporty CTS sedan to a huge lineup of Escalades, ESVs, and EXTs. Just announced by GM is an outstanding program where your first three payments are picked up by GM. I mean picked up, paid for, not deferred. They pay your first three payments. You purchase a certified pre-owned Cadillac from Legends in May, you make your first payment in September. Simple. Full warranty, 138-point inspection, Carfax certified, low mileage, and special financing as low as 1.9%. That's right, 1.9%, folks. Legends, it really is like no place else in North Scottsdale or online at legendscadillac.com.
Take part in the national conversation. Tune in to the Lou Dobbs Show. Weekdays at 5 p.m. only on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100 and streaming live at 1100KFNX.com.
Thursdays at noon, the Makeover Advice Show with me, Diane Faith, the insider's guide to beauty for both men and women. Thursdays at noon, too fabulous to miss. Makeover,
makeover. I'm a professional magician and patient of Dr. Bruce Newman. However, the real magic in my life came when Dr. Newman performed laser surgery on my eyes, and I can now see everything clearly. For your LASIK or cataract procedure, Dr. Newman is one of the most experienced board-certified ophthalmologists in the valley. The Newman Eye Center also treats glaucoma, dry eyes, and performs cosmetic surgery. Call 602-788-8080. That's 602-788-8080. Or visit newmanvision.com. The Newman Eye Center. Most insurance accepted.
This is Dennis Wolinchek on Legalese at KFNX every week, Wednesdays from 4 to 5. We're at 602-277-KFNX. That's 5369. And we're talking with the Fendens, Don and Matt, who are workers' compensation specialists, basically. That's a major part of their practice here in town. Have been doing it for many years. And we have with us Janice Barber, who is a lawyer in Louisiana who successfully handled a case for an undocumented worker that was allowed, pursuant to the Court of Appeals in the Third Circuit, to obtain workers' compensation benefits, even though the worker was found to be here illegally. Janice, before we broke, we were talking about this and some of the reasons why you felt the court essentially had agreed with you and your client, and it was because there's nothing in the legislative law there in Louisiana that expressly excludes undocumented workers. Have you looked into whether there are states that specifically say they are entitled, undocumented workers are entitled to coverage?
Well, yes, many states say that undocumented workers are entitled to coverage. There's a myriad of ways it could happen in the different states. You could have somebody entitled to just medical, but have a waived indemnity benefits because you are undocumented. You could have coverage limited to a certain number of weeks. So there are a lot of different ways that states are dealing with this issue. Mm.
Let me ask the defendants that we have with us here, and feel free to jump in. In Arizona, again, our law does not also expressly exclude illegal aliens. There's nothing specifically excluding them. Which means that we might have a similar result here, or it means potentially the legislature might, assuming they're aware of this issue, change the law to make it clear. My guess would be that they would probably, given this legislature, make it clear to not cover undocumented workers. Why don't you tell our listeners some of the arguments for and against covering people in this country that are not here legally with respect to workers' compensation benefits?
Sure, Dennis. Definitely the arguments for covering illegal immigrants is you don't want to tie up the court system. That's one argument. If they're not entitled to workers' comp benefits, then they could technically sue and tort if they can prove negligence, and that would tie up the courts. It could be very expensive for business. It could detrimentally affect business, in my opinion, so it wouldn't be good for it.
Well, let me stop you there, Matt. We're talking with Matt Fenden as well as Janice Barber and Don Fenden, workers' comp specialists. What you're saying is that basically, even though it might be intuitive that, for example, the Arizona legislature, given the issues with undocumented workers that we have here in Arizona, which is a major issue, you might think intuitively vote that they shouldn't be covered. You're saying or suggesting that actually it's a business issue that might actually cause them to go the other way, because you're saying that if these folks are not covered, then they have the opportunity to sue in court, and you say tort theories, for example, negligence, and that could be much more expensive for business. Is that what you're saying, basically?
Definitely, yes. I mean, because when you sue in tort, you can get multiple forms of damages, whereas workers' comp benefits only provide wage replacement, medical benefits, and they only get permanent disability benefits if applicable. So it's really only a three-prong system, whereas if they sue in tort, it's gonna you're opening – the sky's the limit, basically, for the plaintiff in that scenario.
Well, let's be clear on this. The state doesn't pay this money. These businesses have private insurance companies, unless, of course, one of them goes out of business, which can't happen, right?
Correct. So this – people are paying insurance premiums – to procure workers' comp insurance for this particular purpose. If you don't cover illegal immigrants, you know what else is going to happen? They're going to end up on Access, and that's going to cost the taxpayers more money.
I see. Janice, any thoughts on that?
Yes. Actually, in our case, the Louisiana case, our injured worker, as Mr. Landry indicated, was seriously injured, and his medical bills were $250,000. Those bills went unpaid until the Louisiana Supreme Court indicated that he was entitled to coverage despite his immigration status. So I agree that that can then be shifted to the taxpayer.
Yeah.
But I think it's important to understand, too, that when an employer buys workers' compensation coverage and employs workers, they expect to pay for injured workers. And that's one thing our appellate court pointed out. You don't expect to pay if someone is from a certain place.
Yeah.
If you have 20 roofers, you can say a percentage of them are going to be injured and you expect to pay. So the status with regard to insurance coverage, our appellate court said, no, this employer paid a certain premium and expected to pay. It makes no difference in the eyes of the court where the injured worker was from.
Yeah, that's a good point. Let me ask you, all of you, a question. Can a carrier deny coverage or put in its policy, specifically regardless of anything we've talked about in the show, can a carrier specifically exempt coverage from the employer by putting in a provision in the policy? And have you ever seen anything like that?
I've never seen anything like that. And I think it would be against public policy, frankly, for them to do that.
That would be my answer. I have never seen it done in Louisiana, but I think it would absolutely be against public policy, particularly when you are trying to exclude from coverage a particular group of people who are not excluded from a statutory standpoint.
Interesting issue. Janice, why don't you tell us, I don't want to keep you for the whole show, and I appreciate your being on. We're talking to Janice Barber from Louisiana, who successfully handled a case down there in the Federal Court of Appeals that the Supreme Court did not review, the Rodriguez case, in which the court condoned and allowed the award of workers' comp benefits to an undocumented worker there. In Arizona, it's sort of up in the air, although Matt here was talking about the Scanez case. But tell us about this preemption issue. I'm curious about your take on that. We had on the show earlier Mr. Landry, who represented the roofer, And, of course, his position was that IRCA, as well as this Hoffman case from the Supreme Court, basically preempts a claim and because it's federal over the state system. What's your thoughts on that?
The crux of the matter is exactly your last statement. It's federal over state. Our position has always been that IRCA cannot preempt Louisiana state law because of the separation of powers issue. The state has an absolute right with its police power to regulate insurance matters. We do not have, for state workers, a nationalized system of workers' compensation. And that is why we believe that the federal system cannot preempt our state system.
Yeah,
take the argument out further. If IRCA preempts, then who's going to make the determination as to the status of the worker? An administrative law judge in Louisiana? Then that is certainly preempted. Because states,
which would throw the whole system in chaos, you mean?
Exactly. Yeah. States do not have the power to determine immigration status.
Yeah.
That is definitely preempted by the federal government, by Congress. So let's say we said, okay, administrative law judges, we no longer are going to pay undocumented workers' comp. I have an undocumented worker. I file my suit in our administrative system, and bingo. Who makes the determination of if that person is truly undocumented?
Yeah, well, you know, thank you for those thoughts. It's a very hot topic in Arizona right now because of SB 1070, which, as you know, has made national news. And it's a big issue right now as to federal preemption issues. Almost every case now deals with that in the in this vein. So we're happy to have had you on board. And we appreciate your time, Janice, and good luck to you in the future. We're going to take
a
break.
Thank you for having
me. Yes, absolutely. And we're going to take a break right now. We'll be back on Legalese after these messages.
When you brush your teeth, do your gums bleed? They shouldn't. That's gingivitis or inflammation of the gums. Most people have it, but it's totally preventable. Vanderskef Bichel Dental Care offers the fix for your bleeding gums. Laser-assisted cleaning. Vanderskef Bichel Dental Care specializes in prevention. Enough already with the bleeding gums and bad breath. New patients call now to receive complimentary laser treatment with your first cleaning. Call 480-994-5225. That's 480-994-5225.
I seriously can't believe you're going to do this.
Hey, man, believe it.
Look, I know you'll learn stuff that'll help you with a job in engineering, but, buddy, listen, once you walk through those doors,
Look, I'm still going to be here at home.
Huh?
I'm going to keep my job, work full time, hang out with you, and be a soldier.
I don't get it.
You're completely clueless about the National Guard, aren't you?
The National Guard is a unique opportunity and a unique experience. You're a soldier. You serve your community as well as your country. You train part-time close to home. And you do it all while you work or attend college full-time.
Look at you. Now you're even thinking about it. You're going to walk in with me, aren't you?
All right, wipe that smile off your
face. Oh, come on. You know you want to come in.
Take the first steps to building your career while serving your community and country part-time. Start at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Arizona National Guard. Aired by the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
Since 1991, the law offices of Willinchek & Bartness have provided quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Willinchek & Bartness specialize in cases of breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Willinchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810, 602-606-2810.
All right, we're back on Legalese, brought to you every Wednesday from 4 to 5. This is your host, Dennis Willinchek, and we are talking today about workers' compensation issues, in particular a case out of Louisiana that caused some stir, granting an undocumented worker compensation benefits. We've been talking with Don and Matt Fenden, who specialize and practice workers' compensation law here in Phoenix. And they have been commenting, and we've had the attorneys on from that case. Supreme Court refused to hear the case, leaving the law intact thus far. Gentlemen, you were telling us earlier, we've got about 15 minutes, but you were telling us earlier about workers' compensation law here basically in Arizona, and you were commenting about whether or not you think this case would have a similar result in Arizona. Just to be clear on that, can you both comment on how you think that would come out here if this case were heard in Arizona?
Yeah. Dennis, I think that we'd get the same result here. And this all comes down to the feds not wanting to weigh in on this issue, if you think about it. They kind of talk out of both sides of their mouth because they, you know, obviously brought actions to strike down SB 1070, but at the same time they don't want to rule on whether illegal immigrants should get workers' comp benefits. But based how the statute is written, 23901, like I mentioned earlier, I think if that got up to the Supreme Court, you'd have the same resolution, basically.
Yeah, I would agree on that 100%. And I just feel that they would not want to exclude undocumented workers at this point in time, especially since we've had such a great amount of them here.
Yeah, and it is interesting, as Matt points out, if this federal preemption issue, which is such a hot topic right now with respect to Prop 200, with respect to SB 1070, I mean, this is the hot issue right now in those cases. But you're right. One wonders what the Fed's position would be in regard to this matter. I think you're right. It would probably be opposite.
Right.
So generally they're arguing for federal preemption, but in this case they probably wouldn't because they don't want to take over the workers' compensation system.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, tell us, gentlemen, about what your practice consists of here, because I find a lot of people really don't know much about workers' compensation, as I said earlier, including me, and how it works and when people are entitled to workers' compensation benefits and when they should seek a law firm, really, when they do need benefits.
Anytime they incur an accident arising out of and in the course of their employment with an employer, they should automatically file a claim with the Industrial Commission of Arizona or their doctor, the initial physician they see, can also file a claim. It's called a 102, an initial physician's report of injury. Their report of injury is also called a Form 407, but they and or their doctor should file an initial report of injury.
Okay, so they do not need a lawyer to file an initial form.
No, they do not.
Is there a time frame in which they have to file it?
Yes. Actually, there's a one-year statute of limitations on filing a workers' compensation claim, but there's some pitfalls with regard to that because the insurance company for the employer can argue that they didn't report the injury in a forthwith manner. So they really need to report the injury as soon as it occurs. They need to report it to their supervisor, and they need to file a claim immediately.
Yeah, well, that was going to be my next question. I'm glad you brought that up. If they report it to their supervisor, to the employer, and the employer does not file a claim for them, is that okay? Does the employer have to file a claim?
Actually not. In fact, the statute is pretty pretty clear on it. It's up to the injured worker and or his physician to file an initial claim.
Okay. So when does someone in that general scheme of things need a lawyer?
If the claim is denied, or there's other instances too. If the case has already been accepted for comp benefits, if the average monthly wage has been set incorrectly, or they have curtailed their benefits with an independent medical examination and they want to stay on their benefits, they need a hearing at that point in time. They probably need a lawyer at any of those periods of time.
Can you actually contest then the benefits, or is this set by statute in terms of their benefits for a particular type of injury?
Well, the benefits are set forth by statute, but also they're entitled to two-thirds of their average monthly wage while they're unable to perform their work. And even if they're released to light or modified work, then the statute is pretty clear in the fact that they can collect up to two-thirds of the difference between what they're able to earn in a modified job and what their wage was at the date of injury.
All right. So, again, tell me why, if I'm injured, I need to see a lawyer. If basically I can file a claim by myself and it pretty much goes by statute in terms of what my benefits are, tell me why you get involved?
Well, you would definitely need a lawyer if the insurance company denied the claim, and they could deny the claim because of various reasons. They could deny the claim because the employer tells them to deny the claim.
Well, let's talk about that, Don. We're talking to Don Fendon, workers' compensation specialist. What would be the basis upon which someone could, an employer could deny a claim? I mean, isn't the whole point of the workers' compensation statutes to make it easy and simpler and streamlined to avoid those kinds of disputes?
Absolutely. It's a no-fault form of insurance. But there could be various reasons why they might deny a claim. Perhaps the employee was involved in horseplay with a co-employee and got injured in that manner. That's one possibility. Or if it was a medical issue, they may have a pre-existing condition that the employer and or the insurance carrier would contest that this is just part and parcel of a former problem that they had that had nothing to do with this particular injury.
Do you see a lot of that kind of thing? I mean, where people, for example, make kind of wild claims because they sit too long or something, and they claim a back injury when, in fact, it's due to a football injury or something.
We see those occasionally, yeah.
All right, well, Matt, do you have any other thoughts on when somebody might need to see a lawyer?
Definitely, Dennis. Another common area is where they're getting treatment, but then the insurance carrier sends them to one of their doctors, and they basically terminate the treatment prematurely. So then we're putting one doctor's opinion against the other. And that's a very common type of case that we handle. There's also people that incur permanent disabilities, and we're basically trying to get them a monthly benefit that they may be entitled to for the rest of their life, depending on how severe the disability is.
So do they have to see the doctor that is recommended by the insurance company?
Good question. That's applicable when it's a self-insured carrier or self-insured employer. So in other words, if an employer meets the requirements under the statute, they can be self-insured, and as part and parcel of that is they can control which doctors the injured worker goes to.
I see. But I think a big company or something?
Yeah, I think you're also indicating, Dennis, though, can an insurance company set up an IME with a doctor just out of the clear blue? Occasionally they can. They're entitled to an independent medical evaluation here and there, but not repeatedly. In other words, they're entitled to have that particular claimant seen by a doctor that they choose just to see what the status of his claim is.
Otherwise, generally speaking, an injured worker can see a doctor of their choice.
Absolutely.
Okay. Tell me, how do you charge a fee with respect to those kinds of cases?
Generally, we take a percentage of their compensation, and we never take more than 25%. So it depends on the case. Sometimes we can handle cases for a lower fee depending on how much litigation or any litigation, if it entails litigation. But the standard fee is 25%.
That's standard throughout the valley?
Correct, throughout the state.
Now, that's of their entire benefit over time. If they're paid out over time, you take a percentage each check?
Yes.
Okay.
Basically, once you hire a workers' comp attorney, whether it's us or Joe Smith down the street, the checks start coming to the workers' comp attorney's office, and we deduct a fee and forward it on to the client.
And do you, I mean, obviously you do this for a living, so I would expect you to say yes to this, but tell us about why you add value to a claim of someone that could theoretically handle it by themselves.
Sure. Well, we can make sure they go to the right doctors that are more objective versus the insurance carrier's doctors, which tend to see things the insurance carrier's way. Don, would you like to add to that?
Yes, definitely. We know that there are certain doctors in the valley that seem to parrot whatever the insurance carrier wants them to say, and that doesn't always happen, but it happens frequently.
Well, yeah, it happens in court. I was in court this morning, and there were two appraisers fighting, and it was like they were in different worlds.
Right.
So I can understand what you're saying. Obviously, that's important in that you have those relationships.
Correct.
All right, let me ask you this. We have about two minutes left before we have to go to news break and the show ends. So tell both of you, give our listeners a read on what are the important things that they need to know about workers' compensation. Can you do that for us?
Yes. They need to know that if they have any question whatsoever or they think the insurance carrier is giving them any type of problem whatsoever, they should seek legal advice. And it goes to any issue that can arise. There's there's issues that can arise with regard to compensability, to average monthly wage, to continuing benefits, as Matt alluded to, also to permanent impairment, and also to permanent compensation benefits once they're medically stationary if they have permanent impairment. So if they have any questions at all, or it appears that they're not obtaining what they should be getting, then they should seek legal advice.
Well said. And as I said, we've been talking with the Fendens from the Fenden Law Group here. And why don't you give our listeners your telephone number before we have to exit?
All right. Our number is 602-256-2000, or you can also reach us at 800-229-3880.
Thanks a lot. We've been talking to the Fendens, and workers' compensation has been our topic today. This is Dennis Wilenchek on Legalese. We will see you next week, or not see you perhaps, but talk with you next week on the show from 4 to 5 every Wednesday. And after these messages and news break, you're going to be listening to Lou Dobbs.
Thank you, Dennis.
Take care. Thanks.
Join Brian Hageman, inventor of the natural energy engine, every Tuesday at noon for the Deluge Energy Report. Expert guests from business, government, and science discuss everything from energy policy to the price at the pump. Deluge Energy Report, Tuesday at noon.
London Gold is the best.
Unbelievable. You're zapping me right into the Twilight Zone.
What's so hard to believe? That Lisa might want to marry me?
No, it's just that you're turning out to be way more romantic than I ever thought.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of surprising myself, too. But that's why I need your help. You know Lisa better than anyone. You know what she likes, what she doesn't, how she's going to react.
So what? You want me to tell you what she's going to say when you pop the question?
No, I want an engagement ring that she can't say no to.
Oh, well, that I can do. Let's go.
Where to? I don't want to run all over the city or spend every last dollar I have.
Well, then you came to the right person. Because if you're going for the gold, you got to go to the gold. London Gold.
For over 30 years, London Gold has been offering couples a wide array of diamond engagement and wedding rings that not only reflect the timeless beauty of their love, but an enduring value as well.
London Gold. It's the best.
You're listening to KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. Cape Creek, Phoenix, the home of Lou Dobbs, weekdays 5 to 7 p.m.